So I'm going to invite up Charlie to read a portion of John chapter 15 and Philippians chapter 4.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And then if we turn over to the book of Philippians, and at chapter 4, and we'll read the first 9 verses there. That's Philippians chapter 4. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen.
Well, turn with me back to the chapters that we read together, particularly focusing first of all in John and chapter 15. And if you can, keep it open in front of you as we focus on joy. A couple of years ago, Netflix released a show called Tidying Up with Marie Kondo. It was a reality TV show following Marie Kondo, a Japanese organizing consultant. She visits families to help them organize and tidy their homes. And the focus was all about decluttering your house, working through items one by one, and only keeping whatever sparks joy. That was the principle to declutter your house. Does this thing spark joy? If not, charity shop. I think she could do with coming to a lot of our homes and helping us. I think particularly of my mother. But that question, I hope she's not watching this. That decluttering principle, does this thing spark joy? Well, I wonder what sparks joy for you. I love those videos where a parent in the armed forces who has been serving overseas comes home to their child for the first time in ages, and the overwhelming joy in the child's face. Or maybe it's when you have something to celebrate, There's an engagement or a job offer or a place at uni or a birthday. It's usually accompanied by some food and drink and wine. These are all great joys. Something that we can all experience. But they're all circumstances. And circumstances can change. And life goes up and life goes down. When I was a young Christian, someone taught me that the secret of joy is in the word joy, J-O-Y. The secret being Jesus first, others second, and yourself third. I think that's simple enough for all of us to remember that the secret of joy is Jesus first, others second, yourself third. But it does contain profound truth. And so let's, as we look through the secret of joy, let's start with the joy in Jesus. J for joy, in joy for Jesus. We read from John 15. Jesus says, I am the true vine. And he uses the imagery of a fruit growing from a vine to describe what it is, what it's like to be connected and rooted in him. It's fundamentally the same style of imagery that Paul uses in Galatians 5 to describe the fruit of the Spirit. You cannot grow more like Jesus. You won't see spiritual fruit in your life. There won't be evidence that you are a Christian. You won't be a Christian. You won't show yourself to be a Christian unless you are attached to the vine. Unless you're attached to Jesus, the source of your spiritual life. Dress it up all you want. Have all the habits that you want. Look as good as you want. Be as respectable as you want. Unless you are attached to Jesus, you're not alive. And there won't be fruit. But notice something remarkable about the direction of this passage. We're not going to focus ultimately on these words, but we're going to focus towards the end. Verse 9 and 10, read with me. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. But look at where that leads. Look at what it leads to in verse 11. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Walking in love and in obedience with Jesus leads to joy. I'll say this clearly. God's purpose for you is joy. He's telling us to remain in his love, to keep his commandments, so that we will know his joy, and that our joy might be complete. So what is joy? Well, it's deeper than surface-level happiness. It's wider than pleasure. It's the delight of the heart in something precious to us. And ultimately, here, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's the delight in your soul that comes from God. You can enjoy other things. You can be happy or sad, but the fruit that God grows in his people is his delight. Because he wants you to know his joy. We can rejoice. First, because there is a God. There is a God who created us. Life is not meaningless. Life has a purpose. So before you became a Christian, those of you who are, You might enjoy family and friends and jobs and football and sex and drugs and cars and music, whatever. But come on. We know from experience that in and of themselves, none of these things can satisfy us. In fact, when we try and put all of our attention and all of our focus on any of those things, they leave us unsatisfied. And even afraid to lose it. And fear and anxiety are the enemy of joy. When you can lose something, that joy always contains a poison of fear. But when the Lord Jesus graciously intervenes in our lives and opens up our hearts to his existence and to his presence, and we put our faith in Jesus, we are given a joy like no other. No matter how you feel, you can rejoice that the God of the universe is our Father in heaven. He is not some far off distant God who doesn't care about you. He's a loving, gentle, gracious, faithful, patient, steadfast, and loving Father. God isn't out to get you, waiting for you to trip up and fall. Our Father in heaven is committed to us and never abandons us. We can rejoice in the Son this morning. We rejoice in his life because he is full of grace and truth. We rejoice in his death because through it all, our sins are washed away, all our guilt atoned for, all our shame removed, and we are restored to our right relationship with God. We can rejoice in his resurrection because he conquered death. Oh, death, where is your sting? He's given us an inheritance that can never spoil or fade. We can rejoice in his ascension because he's now at the Father's right hand praying for us and ruling and reigning over all things. And we rejoice in the Holy Spirit, our comforter, our helper, who guarantees our salvation to come and gives us the presence of the risen Christ always. So when things are all over the place and we don't know what's going on and our heads are battered, health, marriage, grief, depression, fear, anxiety, crushing in on you. Even still, we can rejoice in the Father. He cares for me. Even still, when guilt pops up, we can rejoice in the Son. It is finished, he said. And when we look at the day ahead of us and we want to give up, we don't have the strength and the patience for this. Children screaming. We rejoice in the Holy Spirit because we are not alone. Christ is with you. We can't do it, but his grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. What sparks your joy? Where are you deriving your joy from? What is the source of delight in your life? Is it stuff that can disappear and can fade? Or is Christ, is God your joy? You can't have real joy, real, lasting joy without the Holy Spirit. Because if you don't have Jesus, everything you enjoy now will be gone. It will be a hellish existence. It will be hell because all of this will disappear. But if you accept the offer of his unfading joy, if you see and know him as your delight, then you will have a joy that can never fade. It will be a never-ending well of God's deep and infinite and perfect joy. That is the joy in Jesus. All of these things are true no matter what. Nothing can take that away from you if you trust in Jesus. No matter what today holds, no matter what tomorrow will bring, nothing can take that away from you. You are in Christ's hand, and nothing will snatch you out of his hands if you trust in him, if he is your joy. Lots of things can rob you of your joy. Lots of things can blind you. Your sin. But none of it can pluck you from his hand. And that is the source of a never-ending joy. Now, before we come back to how that impacts us in ourselves, that's the joy in Jesus. Jesus first. But secondly, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It is a fruit that's meant to be obvious and seen to others. And so what's the secret of joy? It's Jesus first. Think about what all you have in Jesus. Delight in Jesus. Have him as your treasure because of everything he is and everything he has given you. But then secondly, it's others. Others. The second thing in the order of joy is oh for others. Because the joy fruit of the Spirit is meant to be obvious evidence of being alive in Jesus. Joy impacts how we relate to others. So flip over to our reading in Philippians. Do you know the context of these verses in Philippians chapter 4? Two ladies are having a fight in the church. Verse 2. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind. Agree in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of the co-workers whose names are in the book of life. And he tells them, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Ladies, sort it out. Be of the same mind. Agree in the Lord. And he says, rejoice. Why? Because anger has bubbled up and stolen their joy. And we can become discontent, complaining, thankless people as Christians. And when we're in that mindset, grumbling and moaning, we turn on each other instead of looking to the Lord. To rejoice in the Lord means to focus our attention to God and the things of the Lord. Paul makes it even more practical a couple of verses later, and he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So here's a practical tip for all of us. When we are angry, when we are frustrated, when we are impatient, when we are grumbling, when we're fighting with each other, when we're unhappy with each other, meditate on Jesus. If you want joy obvious to others, first go to Jesus. Meditate on him. Meditate on the source of your joy. That's what brings perspective to life that we lost when arguing and complaining. And joy in the Lord, it never comes alone. Remember, it's the fruit, singular, of the Spirit. Joy never comes alone when it comes from God. It is joined eventually and gradually by love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And people should see this joy in us. So if you become a Christian, does that mean you can't have fun anymore? You can't have sex before marriage. You can't go out and get smashed with your friends on the weekend. Is that your idea of the Christian life? Some sort of buzzkill existence? Christians are killjoys? If you think that, then you've got it all wrong. And if you think that because Christians have been joyless doer people, then I'm sorry. I'm sorry that something has robbed their joy in the up and down of life, that they haven't been focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But you've got it all wrong if that's your idea. The Christian is the most joyful person on the planet. We know the God of joy. God is the one who came up with joy and happiness and praise and singing and music and dancing. He doesn't want us to be miserable, joyless, and doer. He doesn't want us to throw little self-pity parties. And how many of us throw self-pity parties, manipulating other people when things aren't going our way? God wants us to be delighted in him. When we delight in our Creator, we can, we should, we will be people of joy who are free to celebrate one another, not be envious of one another. Free to rejoice in the things worth celebrating. So when we share news with each other, it should delight us. Rejoicing in the Lord isn't something that excludes other types of joy. As if you're only meant to be happy when you're in church, or you're only meant to be happy when you're reading your Bible. You're only meant to be happy when you're singing psalms and songs and so on. No, his joy magnifies and underpins all the good things he gives us for us to enjoy. There is a time to laugh. There is a time to dance. We should have the best weddings, the best parties. There is feasting and celebration. We can enjoy music and food, technology, family, friends, intimacy, whatever. But the joy that comes from the Lord, before you think this is just a free-for-all of doing whatever you feel like, the joy that comes from the Lord enjoys the things of the world in a way that honors and delights in the Lord our Creator. It's a joy from the Holy Spirit. A joy from the Holy Spirit. Our joy should be holy. We can have a drink, but we are not to get drunk and lose control. We can and should have a laugh, but it shouldn't become hurtful. It shouldn't be filthy. Our joy should be inclusive. As Scripture highlights, that we should seek to include the lonely, the outsiders, even the people serving us. Say at a restaurant, if you're having a celebration, the joy that comes from the Lord that magnifies and underpins enjoying a meal together doesn't then rudely say things to the waiter or the waitress. It's inclusive. It's loving. It's gentle. It's self-controlled. It's all the things that the Spirit gives us. And joyful people react differently to life. People who know the joy of Jesus and who focus and meditate on the joy of Jesus that he has given us, we react differently to life. We shouldn't take offense easily. We don't prickle so easily. Why? Because our joy is not in what people think of us. Our joy should be in the Lord. For this person, their perspective is not just in the moment where things can stress us, but it stretches beyond and into God's perspective. Joyful people are often humble people because joyful people know that they've been shown mercy and grace. We are broken sinners. And so we're going to show mercy and grace to our brothers and sisters who are also broken sinners. And we're going to show mercy and grace to all the broken sinners in the world around us. Joyful people know that they are secure in their identity as God's people and secure that they have access to a joy undefiled, a joy undefeatable, and joy unconquerable. And so our souls can be happy and content and delighted in the Lord Jesus. It is a joy that should be obvious to others. As we put others first, as we focus on others first, Jesus first. Show joy to others second. And as the acrostic goes, thirdly, that's what leads to joy in you. As Jesus said, that's his purpose for you. Paul said in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. And how wonderful and how hard those words are. Not just sometimes. Or when everything is going well. Rejoice in the Lord when? Always. With the secret of joy, putting Jesus first, putting others first, and ourselves last. That means there is no circumstance in life that means we cannot rejoice in the Lord. Now, wait. Really? I've got to rejoice in the Lord when I'm having a bad day. I've got to rejoice in the Lord when I have been deeply wronged. I've got to rejoice in the Lord when I'm told I've got cancer. I've got to rejoice in the Lord when a loved one dies. I've got to rejoice in the Lord when I'm worried about the future. That sounds impossible. What is this but a heavy burden to bear? Rejoice in the Lord always. I can't do it. It's not impossible. In our chapters from John, Jesus is about to be put to death. When he says those words, verse 11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Jesus there is about to be put to death. He's under immense pressure. He's going to be betrayed. He knows he'll be betrayed and convicted and killed. And here he is, sharing his joy. Because Jesus had joy through it all. Isaiah 53 calls him the man of sorrows who knew grief and who tasted our sadness. But that's not the whole picture of Jesus. Because his willingness to enter our pain was born of a strength of something eternal. He enjoyed the delight and the wonder of the fellowship of the triune God. And it is that same consistent connection to the source of joy. That means a Christian can mourn and suffer and undergo any difficult circumstance and still have joy. As the classic 80s song by Boston goes, it's more than a feeling. Your feelings can and will be caught up in the awfulness of whatever might be happening to you at any given moment. And still, we have the Lord Jesus Christ, who never leaves us nor forsakes us. It's not sinful to experience mourning and sorrow and grief. We can groan and lament. Lamenting is biblical. The Psalms even give us the words to help us to find the words to lament our situation, as they guide us to turn our struggles and our battles to the Lord. But there's a difference in the Bible between rejoicing and lamenting and how those two things coexist, and rejoicing and mourning. Mourning and complaining and grumbling. It turns us inward instead of lament, which turns us in our pain, in our grief, towards the Lord. And that mourning and complaining and grumbling leads to discontentment. It flips joy around. It becomes all about yourself first. And so when the world talks about joy and happiness, it depends on our circumstances. When everything is going well, I'm happy. And when things are not going well, I'm not happy. But joy in the Bible is a connection to the source of joy no matter what is happening. It's a constant and fixed attitude of the heart that doesn't depend on the circumstances. Joy means this: I am going to delight in the Lord no matter how I feel, no matter what is going on in my life. I will delight, I will treasure the Lord Jesus Christ. My life might be falling apart, but I will delight in Jesus. Because I am my Redeemer's and He is mine. We're all battling something. All of us. All of us have a story of some kind. Some of us are battling disappointment or difficulty. Some of us battling depression, scars of grief, abuse, pain of some kind. But even still, those of us attached to Jesus can carry His joy into all circumstances. You can delight and rejoice in the Lord even as you lament something in life, because He is still yours. Nothing can take that away from you. And there is a time limit to pain. Remember that. There's a time limit to pain. And one day there will be no more pain. There is a time limit to injustice, and one day justice will reign. Even if the Lord stripped everything away from you today, you would still have Christ. And that's enough to even in the tears know there's a time limit. To know it's not the end. To know the sun will rise, morning will come, and my joy one day will be complete. If I lose my health, yet I have Christ and I have enough. If I lose someone close to me, yet I have Christ and I have enough. If I begin to lose my mind, yet I have Christ. And I have enough. And much like Christians should have the most joyful weddings, Christians can have the most joyful funerals. Because it's not the end. They have passed into the complete joy of the Lord. All of this should lead to a perspective of blessing, a demeanor of praise, that no matter how I am today, I can sing. But we should be loving life. I'm not saying put on a fake smile, but I am saying if you are a Christian and you don't think that you have joy, you've got to come back to the source, spend time with Jesus every day, and you will know your joy again. To regain his perspective, to count your blessings, you've got to hear the realities of who he is and what he's given you, what you have again. You know, hope might let us breathe, but joy lets us sing. Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord. Unnumbered blessings give my spirit voice. Tender to me the promise of his word. In God, my Savior, shall my soul rejoice. So no matter what is facing you today, can your soul rejoice in God, your Savior? That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's the joy that Jesus brings. It's a joy, a delight in him. And that can't fade. It can't be taken away. Other things might make you unhappy. Other things can go up and down. But Jesus will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is yours. He is your delight. You've got everything you need through him. So sing. Enjoy life. Lift up your head and delight in the Lord, for he is yours and you are his. So don't you want joy? Don't you want this joy? Full joy, joy always. What are you waiting for? Run to the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you waiting for? Delight in him. And in his joy, show that joy to others. And we will know full joy for ourselves. Amen.